Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 300 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty of Iowa, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75 plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. All right, well, this is our 300th episode of the podcast, and we do have something a little special in store for you tonight, although this wasn't planned by any means. We do have a little news to break tonight. We're actually recording this podcast on Wednesday night, which is when we usually do it. But I will not be posting the podcast on our site for another day or two until it's safe to break this news. But I did want to be able to talk to my first guest about this news. So joining me right now is the head coach of the top-ranked Ankeny girls soccer team, and he has guided the Hawkettes to a 3-0-1 record thus far. His squad is coming off a 0-0 tie against number 2 Valley on Tuesday night. He is Simon Brown. Simon, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good, yeah. Thank you, Don. Appreciate it for having us as always.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I don't want to bury the lead, as they say in the journalism industry. Let's get right to the breaking news. You've told me that you've resigned from your position at Ankeny, as well as your coaching position at William Penn, to accept a new job. So do you want to tell our audience where it is that you're headed and what the timeline for your departure will be?
Yeah, so as of Monday, I resigned from my position at William Penn, and I accepted the position as the assistant coach at the University of Wisconsin. So plan is to finish off the spring season at Wisconsin the next couple of weeks. So I'll be back and forth between Des Moines and Madison for the next couple of weeks until I can get up there for the fall season. So yeah, what that looks like for Ankeny is I will be resigning at the end of the season. So this will be my last year as the Ankeny coach. And then, yeah, I'll be making it back and forth for games, practices, as much as possible. Try not to have a conflict the kids first and foremost, and try not have it impact them, their season. So because they deserve to have their high school season. It's short. So again, trying to, timing isn't amazing of it. I understand it's just something that I couldn't turn down. But yeah, I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank the players, the parents, the community of Ankeny, whether they love me or hate me, they've taken me in for the last 6 years since 2019. So again, I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank everybody in the town, all the sponsors, yourself, for everything, everyone for the support for the last couple of years. So you'll still see me at games or practices. I'm not done. It's just I may not be around as much for the rest of the season. But yeah, this will be my last season coaching the high school girls.
Well, yeah, congratulations on the new job. I bet you're very excited. Is this an opportunity that just kind of appeared out of nowhere, or have you been thinking about moving up to a higher level of soccer at some point?
Yeah, so after last year at William Penn, we lost in the national championship game. So we took the team from, in the last 5 years since I've been there, we took a team that was unranked to number 2 team in the country. We lost the final on PKs. You always ask me how much I hate PKs.
Yeah.
It's another one. Imagine losing a national championship game on PKs. So I'm that guy. Yeah, so after that season, when you do good things, people come calling for you. So I got recommended by a peer to apply for the job. Went through the interview process for the last 6 weeks or so, and then just got the call on Sunday that I got offered a job, and then Monday I accepted, and I've just been going through the process of just trying to let people know, and yeah, I wanted people to hear from me first. So hopefully we've done that, and again, this podcast won't come out for a couple of days, so hopefully by the time it comes out now, it'll be posted on the William Penn and Wisconsin websites. Mike Baker has been very supportive of us. We've had a tough time at Ankeny with ADs turning over every 1.5 years, it seems like, but Mike Baker has been there this whole time, and he's been brilliant with us, and the principal DJ as well, he's on board as well. So again, just trying to give the best experience possible for the kids for what is my last season, and for what a couple of seniors is their last season, and trying to have it impact them too much, and they can focus on playing soccer, which is the most important thing.
Well, we're going to talk mostly about your current team, but I just want to ask you one other question about Wisconsin. Yep. Do the Badgers have a pretty strong program right now?
Yeah, so they won a national championship before. They compete in the Big Ten, and obviously the Big Ten sends, last year they sent 7 soccer teams to the national championships. So again, there's some massive, massive schools in there. Like we're competing against UCLA now. So again, we're competing either coast, or we have Rutgers and UCLA in the same season. So we'll be bouncing all over the country and playing games. So they're a top team, and it's one of those it's one of those opportunities that doesn't come around all the time, and it was one of those that I just had to snatch, and trying to just piggyback off the seasons that we've had at William Penn with the success for, you know, a step up into Division One.
Well, of course, you came here to Ankeny in 2019 and won a state title in your first season, and you've had a lot of success since then as well. You've compiled an overall record of 79-20-2. You know, you've won a state title, you've coached in two championship games, made it to state in all five of your seasons, reached the semifinals two other times. You know, you have to feel good about the success that you've had and where the, you know, where you're leaving the program.
Yeah, and like the success and the record and all that, it sounds brilliant and all, but like, we don't do that without the kids, you know. We don't win without the kids. Like, we put the kids out there and we give them a system to be successful. Like, we're blessed that we've had some of the better kids in the state that were able to compete at this high level for the last 3, 4, 5 years, whatever that is. And even on down years, we've still been managed to make it to stay and be in and amongst the top 10. And even this season, like, people are probably saying that we're not a number one, which is fair enough. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. And you know, I'd probably tend to believe them and our girls too, but we're just riding along with it, and we're enjoying each other's company. And that's the one thing, like, when we made the decision on Sunday, myself and my fiance, and we decided to say yes on Monday and accept, it was just like, just want to enjoy my time now with the girls with this last one. And just there's a bit of perspective when you know that the end is close and coming, and you're still coaching, you get to enjoy it while you're still in the moment, as opposed to like at the end of season. Like, if I had resigned at the end of last season, I wouldn't have had the moments that we're having now where you're in it, where you're getting to go to training, as opposed to being like, oh, I've got training today. It's like you get to go to training and enjoy it. So again, I have a newfound love for the game. And again, this last couple of days has been brilliant, just turning up and going to the game last night. Just was just happy to be there and happy to be a part of the team.
Well, you told me earlier that your top assistant, Trevor Neary, will maybe kind of switch roles with you at times as you're going through this transition. And, you know, and I know this probably isn't your decision to make, you know, but does it make sense that maybe he would take over the program on a permanent basis?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I hope he wants to. He's got a full-time job with Sport in Iowa too, and he's fairly busy. I know he enjoys being an assistant. Trevor's been a former head coach before. So again, we're very lucky that we have two head coaches here right now anyway that are able to step in. And like I said, I have no problems. The girls all love Trevor too. And he has a fantastic soccer knowledge that, like I said, I'm able to bounce ideas off him. And like I said, if I'm ever not there, like, he ran training a couple of times last week when I was up interviewing for the job. And we played two games at the weekend, and you would never know that I wasn't, or the head coach wasn't there. And I think that's a sign that things are just, you know, the kids are the ones that play the game. The kids are the ones that are on the field, and they're the ones that run around out there. And that's the main thing I'm trying to get to the girls. Like, you don't need me on the sideline to be there. They may feel like they need me screaming at them, but that's not always the case. They're the ones out there playing the game. The kids are always going to be the ones that win you the game, and hopefully that may long that continue.
Well, of course, you're not leaving yet, so let's talk about this current team. You guys are off to a good start with wins over Cedar Falls, Pella, and Pleasant Valley, three teams that are currently ranked before last night's draw against Valley. You know, despite some injuries, the only goal that you've allowed this far was a late PK in the win over Pella. So you have to feel good about where the team is at right now, you know, sitting at the top of the rankings.
Yeah, no, look, it's nice to have someone else have a nice opinion of you. That's great. Like, it feels awesome. You know, I spoke to the girls before, and I think a lot of other people are underestimating us, and that's great. Like, not a lot of people will get to, here's the funny thing, Dan, this is the first time we've ever been number one in our 6 years here with the teams that we've had. And we've never been, like, for all the rankings and all that in my 5, 6 years here, this is the first time we've ever been here. So none of the girls that I've ever coached before have known what it's like to compete and be number one and compete at the pinnacle of their sport. So again, just same thing, like, to go out there and enjoy it, enjoy the fact that teams want to go out and beat number one and have a different mentality. And like I said, not everyone's going to get to compete at the pinnacle of their career and be number one and be chased, because we haven't, an Ankeny team hasn't for the last 4 years that I've coached. So this is the first time that it's come about. And like I said, yeah, the girls have responded really well. You would watch them and you would never notice that there's immense amount of pressure on them. They're just enjoying their games. They're enjoying their time together. And same thing for me too. Like I said, just enjoying turning up the train, enjoying turning the games. And it's nice that other people have an opinion on you. But like, at the end of the day, it's just two teams battling out. Like, the game last night, like, was the 1-2 game. You would never know that is the case. Like, there was a couple of people there. Like, no one really made a big deal of it, which is nice. And yeah, we're just taking it game by game.
Were you surprised at all that you guys guys, you know, were number one in the preseason rankings, considering the girls that you do have out with injuries? Or do you think maybe the rankings were put together not taking that into consideration?
I would say, if I had to guess, that the rankings were put together based on the returners that they thought we had. Mm-hmm. But I want to say that with a pinch of salt, because that's disrespectful to the group that we have here now that are undefeated. So again, the girls that we have here now are more than capable to compete with the best teams in state. You saw that last night with us going toe-to-toe with Valley, out-shooting them in the game. So again, we're more than capable of competing. Like, we have a couple of kids that can't play, and that's fine. It's next kid up is playing, and the young kids that we have, like, we only started two seniors last night. We're supposed to be starting six seniors. We only started two seniors last night, and we have a really, really young squad, which is good for the future, you know, whatever the future of the program. Like, all these kids that are here now get to be on the team next year, and you know, we have nine returners next year that will be able to come in and compete. So the Ankeny will always be here, and the future's bright for this program, and whoever takes over will be in good hands.
Well, I just wanted to touch briefly on a couple of those kids that are out with injuries. Of course, Cameron Dietz and Sophie Leffler, you know, are supposed to be two of your top returning seniors. Cameron is committed to play for Drake. Sophie is headed to St. Cloud State, but they both did have knee injuries in the offseason. You know, how are they doing in their recovery, and is there a timeline, or is there a timeline for them to get back at some point?
Yeah, I think the goal is to get them back in May. I don't know what that looks like. I think whatever their recovery stuff looks like. I'm a soccer coach, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know what their time is. But I think, like, the both of them would sell their firstborn child to get to play their senior year. And it's tough that it's taken away from them right now. So again, I think that they're just hoping and praying that they do everything they can that the doctors tell them. Double down on their PT work. They're at practice now, just doing non-contact stuff. And yeah, we'll see what happens in May. Like I said, if they come back, brilliant. If they can come in and help us with a couple of minutes, brilliant, to take some pressure off the girls that are playing. If not, then we just have to adapt and put out the best team possible that we can.
Well, like you mentioned, the good news is that you've already proven that you have a very good team, you know, even without those girls. You certainly have one of the state's best players in midfielder Allie Mackey, who is headed to Iowa next year. She already has 3 goals in 4 games. Now, she was going to be a huge part of your team regardless, but it seems like maybe she has even stepped up a little bit more without those other seniors on the field.
Yes, I mean, like, I think when people look at our team now, they just see Allie and try to think of different ways that they can stop her and shut her down, and that's forcing us to find creative ways to put her in different plays in the game to get her open. But if you ask her, she probably should have had 10 goals already, the amount of shots she had. The last time I checked, she led the state in shots. So she's getting on the ball. She's just got to put them away. So, yeah, she's a massive part of the team, and she has been for 4 years. She started as a freshman for us. So, yeah, she's been the heart and soul of the team for the last couple of years. And she had an opportunity to go to Iowa this season, early, mm-hmm. semester early, and not play her high school. But playing high school was so important for her that she came back for us for her senior year. And I think when you make a sacrifice like that, you want to double down, and you want to really prove that it was the right decision for yourself, because she could be at Iowa now playing spring games and lifting with them, but she's with Ankeny competing for us and trying to compete at the top of her game. So yeah, you got to respect that tough decision she made, and you know, the team, she feels like she owes it to the team, but the team owes her to, you know, come together and same thing, and just give her the best that we can.
And sophomore Isabel Squires has your other 2 goals thus far. She's obviously stepped up, you know, too, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's been brilliant. She's a kid that's really developed through her club in the last couple of months since we've seen her. She's playing a fantastic role. She's playing as a holding mid, but she's a track kid also, so she's able to carry the ball. Like, she's very powerfully carry the ball up the field, so she's able to run 60, 70 yards with the ball and cover a lot of distance. So yeah, she's been brilliant for us. She's been a blessing, and she's improved on her game technically, physically. So she's really leveled up, and she's helping out with the goals too.
Well, your program has always been known for its ability to keep a clean sheet, and you guys have already recorded 3 of them this season. Your starting goalkeeper, Claire Close, has only had to make 5 saves thus far. You know, so that shows that you guys aren't even allowing very many scoring chances at all. What has been the key for this, you know, defense to come together without Sophie?
You know, it's a credit to the kids. You know, we've only had 5-6 training sessions, and we were joking last night that we've had more training sessions than we've had more games than training sessions, which is mad to think about. But yeah, the kids have just picked up everything that we've put down. You know, they've asked a lot of questions. The other girls on the team that were here last year, Soph Kephart and Avery's. Kephart's only she's only a sophomore. Avery's only a junior. So again, those girls are helping out the two freshman girls that are playing at the back also. And you have a nice voice with Claire behind you. She's a very calming presence. So she keeps a lot of clean sheets. She's fairly solid at the back. So again, those new kids that are in there, they've just picked up everything that we put down. And they've also came from good club environments where they understand the same terminology that we're speaking. So again, we've just adapted a little bit. And yeah, in the 5-6 sessions that we've had, it's not perfect. We're giving up chances. Teams are getting in behind us. It's fine. Like I said, we're a young group, and we were just using the games as much as possible for learning.
Let's talk about the Valley game a little bit. I was at the boys' game at Valley, so I didn't get to see it. But it sounds like it was a tight battle between two evenly matched teams. According to the stats on Bound, you guys had 11 shots and Valley had 7. But you told me last night after the game that neither team really had many chances, right?
I would say Valley had the best chance. We had more chances. They had a ball that bounced over the back line. He went through one of them one and kicked it over and wide. We probably had, in the second half, more of the ball in air half slash attack in third and more opportunities to get the ball into the box without any clear cut chances. I would say, yeah, but there wasn't much between the teams. Like I said, the game was screaming out for a goal, or we spoke at halftime that like it's only going to be a mistake that's the difference. But yeah, Valley's another top team. But again, we were just trying to find different ways to win, and it did, like I said last night, both teams weren't defending. We were trying to score. We just couldn't figure out ways to do it. And Valley's only had 5 practices also. We've only had 5 practices also. So these girls haven't played together a lot. So again, that's kind of the tough part, is us just trying to get them on the same page and clicking together. And that won't come until May.
Well, of course, this game ended in a tie instead of going into overtime and possibly to a PK shootout because of the new rule that does permit games to end in a draw during the regular season. And you're obviously totally fine with that, aren't you?
Yeah, like I told you before, my love affair with PKs isn't the best and hasn't been. But again, we've just finally mirrored the rest of the world what they do in soccer. And I know the American purists don't love the fact that a game ends in a tie. We got to have a winner. Even the AD there was like, no, like someone's got to win. Like, what do we do now? It's like, it's okay. Like everyone left there last night, not thrilled, but happy. Like it was fine. Like, and it was just okay. And there's been a couple other draws that are around. And there's, you know, if we go and play a team that's not in the rankings and we tie, that's a good tie for them. It's a bad tie for us. If we the game last night, that was a fine tie. Everyone was happy. So it's okay. So again, it just keeps the status quo the same. If I had gone to PKs last night and we beat Valley and then they drop in the rankings, like it's not fair because we're equal and it's okay. So yeah, I've been very pro this for a lot of reasons. And the main thing is just the extra 20 minutes and the kids on a school night, getting home late, it doesn't make sense, especially this early in the season. We're crying out for injuries, and we have had no injuries yet, so hopefully that's a test to the lack of the less minutes that we're having, the less load that we're putting on the kids throughout the season.
All right, well, let's look ahead now. Of course, you got the big showdown coming up on Monday when you face number 6 Ankeny Centennial in the annual derby game at Northview Middle School. You know, like you, the Jaguars also won their first 3 games before they opened conference play last night with a 3-0 loss at Waukee Northwest. And I know Coach Allen felt like the scoreline didn't really reflect, you know, how competitive the game was, because the Wolves did score 2 of their 3 goals in the final 10 minutes, you know, when Centennial was kind of scrambling to get an equalizer. You know, did that result surprise you at all, though?
Nothing surprises me in the CIML results, because any superstar kid can go off and score 2-3 goals at any one time. So again, I wouldn't say the result shocked me. I do agree with what Coach Allen said. Like, I'd rather lose a game 2-0 than 1-0 and keep on sitting in and not trying to go for it. So maybe I didn't watch the game. Maybe they came out of their shell a little bit and were a bit more exposed at the back than they normally are. And a couple of goals happened at the end. But yeah, like I said, the games are so tight. If it was a 1-0 game, then Centennial's maybe pushing for the tie, and then things open up and then the other team scores. That's usually what happens. But yeah.
Well, the Jaguars had shut out their first 3 opponents, including a 1-0 win over the same Pleasant Valley team that you defeated by that score. You know, do you expect the game to be another defensive battle where one goal could be all the difference, you know, like it was last year when Cam converted a PK midway through the first half and then you guys went on to win 1-0?
Yeah, it could easily be. Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot between the games. I think Centennial probably brings back the most kids from last year. They've added a couple of kids that were injured from last year that are coming back too. So on paper, they probably have one of the strongest squads out there. So yeah, it will be, it's always More often than not, it's a tight game, and we'll see what team they put together on Monday. And same thing for us. Hopefully, we get a couple of days to work on a couple of things in training, so that we're able to be at our best for Monday's game. But again, it's always a highly competitive game. I think it's always more emotional than competitive. I think that has got the better of us in previous seasons, and just trying to find different ways to adapt. And yeah, Centennial is definitely a strong squad. I know other people are speaking about them too, that they probably could have been the number one team with the players that they have coming back, and I think they were probably a little bit disrespected with where they were put in the rankings so low. But like I said, Coach Allen's been doing this for long enough that he knows how to play in the big games, and he has a lot of returners that are able to play in the big games too. So yeah, number of respect for those guys. And like I said, I text Coach Allen throughout the season, like we talk quite often. I hate him for 80 minutes a year, and the rest of the time we're respectful. So again, look, if I see him here tonight, I'll say hello. And yeah, same thing on Monday before and after the game, we'll be fine. But again, in the 80 minutes, the town forces you to go to war.
Well, regardless of how this game turns out, you guys have shown in the past that you can lose this game and still go on to have a successful season. You know, you lost to the Jaguars 1-0 in 2019 and went on to be the state champs, which is obviously the biggest goal that you have. And you have to feel like this group has championship potential.
Yeah, I mean, like I said to you before, any team can put together a run of games in June and win. You saw that last year. Just you got to make it the most stressful game every year is the game to go to state by far. And once you're there, it's kind of the pressure's off a little bit, because you know that you just have to keep your kids healthy, get through your games every 2 days, and put the best team out there possible. And the big moments will come. So again, it's all about those big moments in and around each 18-yard box, is where the games are won and lost. So again, the game is important for everybody in the town. We've lost before and gone on to have great years. They've lost it last year. They still made it to state. So again, like the one game doesn't define you. It's important for everybody, for your rankings. It's important for momentum. It's important for morale. But again, we've lost it and gone on to do just fine. And we've won it and gone on to do just fine. So again, whatever happens on Monday won't be the be all end all.
Well, Simon, good luck the rest of the season, and thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I know it's been a busy week for you, and I know I'll talk to you again here throughout the rest of the season, but thanks for all of your cooperation over the years. You've been a joy to work with, and I'm sure I will see you around again.
Yeah, we'll do another one of these before the season ends. But again, I appreciate you taking the time to come out to games, and it's the stuff you do for the girls. I didn't realize this was 300 as well. It's a big episode, so everyone loves nice big round numbers. So yeah, no, I appreciate it, and I'll definitely be listening in and reading all your stuff in the years to come.
All right, thanks a lot, Simon.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. Give us a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my other guest tonight is the longtime head coach of the 6th-ranked Ankeny Centennial girls team, and he has guided the Jaguars to a 3-1 record thus far. His team is coming off a 3-0 loss at Waukee Northwest in its conference opener last night. He is Chris Allen. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, we're going to cover a lot of ground tonight, but I do want to start with some breaking news. I know we just had Simon on the podcast, and I know he told you as well that he has resigned and will be leaving at the end of the season to take a job up at Wisconsin. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
I was surprised, but I'm happy for Simon. He's very invested in the soccer world, and it's gonna keep pushing him to be a great coach. And so happy for him in that way. Sad for the CIML. Sad for the Ankeny program, because he's a very tough coach to coach against. He gets the best out of his kids and does a great job in our conference.
Well, I know you and Simon have had some great battles over the years, and his teams have had a lot of the same characteristics that your teams have had. Being so sound fundamentally on defense. Being the first thing that comes to mind. Because your two teams can be very similar, can't they?
Yeah, at times they can. I think both coaches value defense and just staying organized in the back line. He's really big on the psychology part of the game. He's got a great tactical understanding. Pushes his kids to be the best. Has a high standard that he expects of them, and really gets great results out of them.
Well, let's talk about your team now. You guys got off to a 3-0 start with wins over three ranked opponents, Iowa City West, Pleasant Valley, and Dallas Center Grimes, and you didn't allow a single goal in any of them. You know, you had to be thrilled with the way that you opened the season.
Yeah, I think, I went back and compared the games that we were playing this year to that were similar games of last year, and just some of the markers I was looking at, we see improvement in the way we're playing. Again, going those three games without a shutout, that's not how we started the season last year. So absolutely fantastic on our out of possession end of the game. The girls did super well, staying organized and making sure that we really, you know, didn't give up too much for shots on goal even during that stretch, maybe one or two at most. So it was a job well done to start the season.
Well, you guys were fifth in the preseason rankings. I know you don't put a lot of stock, you know, into where you're ranked early in the season, but, you know, even Simon mentioned that maybe with all the experience that you guys had returning, that maybe you guys were being underestimated. Is that about where you thought you guys would be when the first rankings came out?
You know, I never know with the rankings in terms of where I would hold our team in esteem. I see us definitely in the top five. The way we're playing right now, even with the loss, I'd say we're playing really good soccer, really thoughtful. We need to be a little bit more dangerous in the attacking third at times, but I see that coming along as well. I see the investment of the kids. So I definitely would have us in the top five, just the type of soccer we're playing and what we're capable of and just the progress I've already seen in the kids.
Your team has gotten goals from four different players thus far. Ava Martin and Emery Becker each has two, and they're both returning standouts from last year's squad. You know, it's no surprise that they are two of the girls leading the way, is it?
Not at all. You know, Ava's coming off a great basketball season. She had a great soccer season last year, and I just continually see her carry momentum from one activity or one event into the next. Emery's just such a smart player. She's a leader on our club team. You know, she plays a lot of club volleyball too as well, and from what I hear, she's just a workhorse on that field. And you know, Emery's just really kind of suffocated the midfield in the way that she's played.
You have a freshman, Adeline Kroska, who has also scored a pair of goals, so she has certainly made a big impact early on. She has started all four games. Another freshman, Hadley Bergen, has played in all four. You know, did you expect your freshman to be able to come in and contribute right away?
You know, those two specifically have really just showed up for a lot of things that, you know, we have in the off season, whether it's open gyms, our summer open turfs. And so by being present and being around, we've had some good looks at them. We still made them try out and go through a tryout process once the season rolled around. They definitely emerged as players with a lot of talent and just quality kids as well. And so to see what we're seeing out of them, you know, they built their reputation in showing up and just have continued to follow through and meet expectation.
Well, last night you guys obviously had a tough one over there at Northwest. That game was a rematch from last year's Class 3A quarterfinals when the Wolves won 3-2 in a shootout. You know, I'm sure your girls would have loved to get some revenge last night, but, you know, things certainly didn't go your way. According to the stats on Bound, you guys had just seven shots in the game. You know, so was it simply a matter of you guys, you know, not generating enough good scoring chances?
Yeah, you know, we came out and in the first 3 minutes, I think we put two shots on goal right away. Olivia Kroska actually, I think, had two of those shots, really good chances. You know, and then it kind of settled into midfield play. I think we still had the run of possession for probably 70 minutes of the game. When we got into the last 10 minutes when we gave up the additional two goals, I really threw the girls into a situation they'd never been in before. We were basically defending with two backs, if not one at time, just really trying to press for an equalizing goal and then to hopefully change the momentum from there. And unfortunately, in that run of play, we gave up two goals. We had kids playing positions that, you know, they normally wouldn't play for us, and we'd never asked that of them in practice. So, you know, that's really on me, what I was doing to us. That scoreline got out of control, or looks like it got out of control, really because of what we were trying to do to score goals, and we just weren't prepared for that that moment in that game. And so I thought the game was tighter and closer than the final result yielded. We gave up a PK after, I don't know, about 20 minutes of play in the second half, and then, you know, were pressing for a goal, and unfortunately, own goal came out of that, another set piece, and then just a counterattack that, you know, all they had to do was get it across half, and we were going to be in trouble based on how we were set up.
Well, you mentioned Olivia, and she ended up taking three of your seven shots. Of course, she came back this year after missing last season due to a knee injury, and I know you're thrilled to have her back on the field. Do you feel like she's back to where she was before the injury, or is she still a little bit of a work in progress?
Yeah, she's a little bit of bad luck. Unfortunately, early into the second half against Northwest, she aggravated an ankle. You know, she's moving around, running around on it today, but, you know, that we shut her down then after that. And I think that took an emotional toll on the team as well that was hard to overcome. And then it was off a tactical toll as well. I would say that she was having her best game up into injuring her ankle of the season. And she's really having an impact on the way we were playing.
Well, I know you have another key player who should be coming back from her knee injury sometime this month. Is that still the timetable for Piper Zeman's return?
Yeah, I think we'll look to see her come back next week at some point. Probably won't see her Monday night in the Derby game, but we will see her at some point next week.
All right. Well, yeah, you guys do need to get ready now for that Derby game on Monday against number one Ankeny. Of course, they're coming off a scoreless draw against number two Valley last night. The Hawkettes look to be every bit as stout defensively as you guys had been in your first three games. They have only allowed one late PK in their win over Pella. You know, so do you expect this to be another tight defensive battle, you know, where one goal could be the difference?
Yeah, one goal or just ends up with none, you know, as was the case with their game last night. Yeah, I would expect it to be a tight match. They're not gonna break defensively readily. And, you know, we'll set up in the same way where if we don't have to chase the game, that we'll be very organized as well.
Well, Simon is very happy with his new rule that allows these games in the regular season to end in a tie if that's what happens. How did you feel about that new rule?
I was an advocate for it, you know, in terms of the health of the players. It mirrors the college game as well. So in that way, I was an advocate. The competitive side of me, I liked a result, you know, walking away with either a win or a loss, kind of know where he stands, even though the result through a PK really didn't tell the story of the game. But absolutely on the player health side, it didn't make sense to go to West Des Moines and still get home past midnight, you know, and that was happening a lot in our CIML games on a Tuesday night. That's rough.
Well, what do you see as being the keys to this game on Monday night? I mean, in a game between two good defensive teams, I mean, when you have an opportunity, you probably need to take advantage of it, don't you?
Yeah, I think, you know, set pieces are going to be huge for both teams. Last year, they had a corner kick that yielded a penalty kick for the win. Couple years back, Kroska, you know, put in a ball that came off a set piece. So historically, I think the set pieces have been a big deal. And so if either team's able to generate those in dangerous areas, that's going to be something that everybody on either defensive side is going to have to be locked in and make sure that their clearances are sound. I think composure is always one of the biggest aspects of this game. You know, it gets hyped up. It's a rivalry game. These, you know, I think Mackie and Martin are best friends, you know, but, you know, when you throw best friends out in the field against each other, there's just a different level to it. And so who's going to keep their composure through the hard moments of the game? I think that's going to be a big, big aspect of it.
Well, this rivalry has shown in the past that, you know, one of you can lose this game and then still go on to have a great season. I know back in 2019, you guys beat Ankeny, but they went on to win state. Of course, you guys lost last year and then you went on to qualify for state. So I'm sure that's something you'll preach to your girls that, you know, hey, no matter what happens on Monday night, we got to be ready for the next one, right?
Right. Well, honestly, coming out of Northwest, you know, we had to have that same approach where we couldn't sit and lick our wounds all night long because we've got Ankeny right around the corner. And, you know, after Ankeny, we'll have Urbandale right around the corner. And we'll take it one game at a time, but you can't look back on the early results of a season. That's not going to dictate your destiny. So like you said, you know, it could go either way, but either team is, you know, if they do the things they're supposed to do, they're going to have a good season.
Well, your team has been to state every year but one in the program's history, and you told me before the season that this was a team that, you know, could be playing on the final day of the state tournament, and I'm sure you still feel that way even after the loss last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had a PK opportunity in the first half last night. The official called a handball in the box and then waved it off. If you go back, it was a handball in the box. And so we didn't get a chance to take that. You know, we score there 1-0, go up 1-0 in the first half, the game might be an entirely different story. Rather than us chasing the PK, they would have been chasing and we could have sat in and defended a little bit more than we did. And just, you know, so I don't think that game will define us. I think, you know, if we look at how we were playing for much of that game, it's something to be proud of. Can we create chances out of a quality style of soccer?
Well, it should be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. You know, good luck on Monday night. Coach, I'll see you there.
All right, Dan. Thank you. Thanks for having us. And, you know, thanks for all the coverage that Ankeny Fanatic provides the sports in the area. It's just, I'm proud to be a part of Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial. And it's just, it's nice that these girls get the coverage that you provide.
Well, I certainly appreciate your cooperation. It always helps to have a coach that is willing to send stuff. And you certainly do. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yep. Thanks. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had girls soccer coaches Simon Brown of Ankeny and Chris Allen of Ankeny Centennial. I appreciate the time from both of those guys. I know it's been a busy week for both of them. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.